Hey friends, welcome to the Thrive Like a Parent podcast. You know those parents who look like they've got it all together? Yep, that's not me. I'm Dr. Brooke Weinstein, mom, widow, and neuroscience expert on all things sensory and emotional regulation. Yep, that's right. I'm here to get down and dirty on the truth behind parenting, education, burnout, neuroscience, widowhood, and the shit show we call life. So come join me for conversations with thought leaders, doctors, and women just like you who aren't afraid to speak the truth and help you find that silver lining between the to-do lists, shit shows, and chaos of parenthood. If you are craving the answers to finally find that sweet spot between chaos and calm, pull up a seat and listen in as I take you from burnt out and surviving to finally thriving. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Thrive Like a Parent podcast. Today, I got the idea to do this specific podcast because as part of the new Thrive Like a Parent, we now have dads and men within Thrive. And I was interviewing a few of them. Before we start Thrive, we do a one-on-one with each of our clients to kind of get a baseline of where they're at. And then we do one at the end to kind of see where they've come and how much they've grown and what they've learned, like all the different things. And I got a common theme, no joke, from the men. But the craziest part about this is that I feel that this is a common theme from women as well. And so as I was listening, I was like, we have to talk about this. Like, we have to talk about this. And what we're going to talk about today is when or why there is no room left for you in the relationship. And let me give you a little piece of what I mean by that. Let's say your partner is, and I can do both examples, right? It's either we're doing all the home life, we're doing the cooking, the cleaning, the diapering, the bathing, the sleeping, the this thing, like we're doing it all. And then it's like, we're so spent and exhausted at the end of the evening. It's phone in face, dark, quiet room, rolled over. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. I don't care how your day was. I could give two shits what you ate for lunch. I need like a sensory deprivation room. Or it is, let's say you are working and you are have a full day of meetings and you're going and making the deals or landing the sale or whatever it is in your career. And then you walk in the door and then you're exhausted from dealing with the kids or, and this or that, or walking out your home office. And then it's like one after the other. And it's like, you just can't wait for a moment of silence. So then what happens is you, again, phone in front of face, Netflix on, roll over in bed, pitch black, or maybe the TV room, or like maybe even you're sitting there with your partner in complete silence, watching something, literally watching something while scrolling your phone. And you have this deep feeling of, why don't they have anything left for me? I just want a smidge. Like, why don't they have anything left for me? They're giving so much to their career, or they're giving so much to their family, or they're giving so much to their children. This is not what it used to be like. Like, we used to give each other everything. And now we've got kids and we don't even want to talk. We can barely look at each other. And what that leads to, okay, what that leads to is complete and utter loneliness, right? Feelings of loneliness while you are in a relationship, right? And that leads to so much resentment and anger and frustration and breakdown of marriages and communication and tit for tatting and you're not doing this and I'm not doing that. Like, it's very, very common that people find themselves in long-term relationships feeling completely lonely. And the problem within this entire topic is that we look at this from a lens of psychology, of like, why do some people feel lonely in their relationships? Well, maybe it's this sense of loneliness can often take place when a couple has lost their emotional connection, right? That's the psychology side. Or even if you're very, very best of friends before and you built a friendship on that relationship, you know, like, and all of a sudden you're drifting apart and feeling somewhat distant or estranged from one another, right? Like, you can feel as though it is like, well, what has happened? What has taken place, right? There's this other idea that somewhere along the line, if you two are the way most couples are, right, what happens is atrophy. Okay, think of like a muscle, right? Atrophy is what happens to a muscle when they are not exercised and used regularly. So those muscles, right, those beefy muscles lose tone and eventually lose the ability to activate. And love is a muscle, and love can absolutely atrophy. It can. And it slowly wears out until you can't find how to access it literally anymore. You are so estranged from your partner. You feel so lonely. You feel so lost. And it takes a lot of effort, right, to utilize that muscle and get that love muscle back, if you will, and back in shape, right? Let's say you have a surgery and you need to not be on your feet for a while. You're going to atrophy, but then you go to physical therapy to strengthen that muscle back up, right? And oftentimes what this as well leads to is lack of sex drive, lack of sex life, like no intimate connection at all. And that is a huge part of a relationship. Now, as I just discussed, this is all from the psychological lens, but what I do believe we are not focusing on and what a lot don't recognize and understand is that it needs to be looked at from a neurological lens, because what we're doing is we're getting our emotional feelings hurt of like, we don't feel connected. We don't feel aligned. We don't feel like we're communicating. There's no more vulnerability. I don't feel like even your intimacy that you do have feels like it's not connected. And like that passion of, you know, this fairy tale romance or rom-com that you like saw in the movies, and then you felt the butterflies when you first met your partner, like all of that goes away. And it is effort to maintain a relationship. It is effort to continue working that muscle. But the problem that we aren't looking at is that this is neurological. This is from us expending so much energy. This is from us over-functioning. This is from us looking at a goal within our career or life and saying it's never enough. Or, you know, watching social media and seeing how all these incredibly like wealthy people live their lives and or show up on social media. And then it's like, oh, well, then we're supposed to have those lives too. Like, duh, it's attainable. So like, let's go after it. And this immediacy of life and this crazy culture that we live in, your brain was not meant to function like this. Like, it was not meant to function at this rate. It was not meant to function at this go, go, go pace. Something has to give. On top of the fact that we grew up, yes, most of you listening to this, we grew up in a generation where we watched as our parents just kept smiling and like, it's fine, like everything's fine. And you know what? Things were fine back then. Like, things were different back then. My mom loves to say, she's like, I think I grew up in the best generation, like of our time, because it was right before the cell phone boom. And it was, you know, I had, it was beepers, and then it was huge cell phones in the car. We all remember these things, right? And there was no Netflix, and there was no instant gratification. There was no immediacy of life. There was no, it's just absolutely gotten out of control. Even like your kid's resume for how to get them into college and like all this crazy stuff. You know, it's what I like to explain is the world has flipped and become Las Vegas, like the world or like the United States, like everywhere has become Las Vegas. It's not just Las Vegas is Las Vegas. And that is like all the lights and the bigger and better and brighter. Like, I went to Las Vegas a few months ago with the kids for the first time, and we were walking on the strip. I can't tell you how many, like, I think I Googled something and it was like, there's like 50 malls and there's like a bazillion Gucci stores and there's like a bazillion product. Like, it's like, well, there was like one right down there, like bigger and better and brighter and bolder and louder and all the different things. When you and I were growing up, I will never forget, there was this trampoline park on Veterans Highway in New Orleans, and it was a fence, really old, rickety, very unsafe trampolines with wooden sticks up in the air or poles up in the air with sprinklers attached to them. And we would go to the trampoline park, jump, and every now and then they turn on the sprinklers and it was awesome. But now if you think about what trampoline parks look like, it's not just a trampoline park. It is a battleground for all the bouncy things you could ever imagine, and the rock walls and dodgeball and zip lines and rope courses and slides and lights and music. And like, a movie theater is not even a movie theater anymore. You know, like, we have absolutely like ripped like just simplicity apart. And so as we have looked at the world in terms of like, well, here's this product, how do we make it better? And here's this product, how do we make it better? It's just like Las Vegas all over the place. And so that is how we live our lives. And it is not doable. It is not sustainable for your brain. And what happens when you stay in a state of that overfunctioning or that fight or flight, or you are totally burnt out as a parent and trying to do everything for everyone else, there is literally nothing left over for you and your partnership. There is nothing left over. But the problem is that, ooh, don't hate me, you have allowed it to get there. Oof. Ah, I love you. I'm sorry. But it's the truth. Like, we truly do allow it. Just like keeping a muscle or bicep or this or that, that's why you keep going to work out, because you want the cute booty or like whatever you want for you, right? Like, you keep going because you don't want to lose it. You don't want it to atrophy. But somewhere along the way, once these humans pop out, it's, well, Johnny needs their diaper changing, so you got to do X, Y, Z. Like, it's lost in translation somehow. Our relationship, it's like it just gets sucked down the drain. And it's like, you know, I know this isn't my decade. Like, this isn't our decade. Like, we'll get back there. It is okay to have both. It is okay to put in the time for your partnership and relationship. It is okay to make choices within your life that allows you to not overfunction, that allows you to say, this is enough. We have enough. I'm happy with my life. I'm just going to like ride this wave. I'm good with what I'm doing or making in the world, or like, I'm happy. And like, I just want to enjoy my life. And if we don't ever get to that point as we get into our, the out of that decade, right, where our kids really, 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 really need us, we have no idea how to reconnect together. We have lost a connection. You may not even like each other anymore. You've been bickering and arguing and fighting and have like, you don't even know how to communicate. Like, you don't even know how to sit in a room or sit at a dinner table. You know, I used to go to dinner and Jonathan and I would talk about it all the time. I'd be like, I don't want to be one of those couples where we sit at a meal and like, we're either A, both looking at our phones, or we have nothing to talk about and we're like staring at the wall. Now, my partnership did not succeed in the way I wish it had. That is for completely different reasons. Jonathan had mental health issues, right? But we did try to always communicate and always work through things. We didn't communicate very well. Like, that was not a strong point of our relationship, but we tried. Okay. Like, I will give us that. We did try, right? But what happens when we don't put forth the effort, or we don't say this is a priority, is there is such a breakdown. And we all need different things from a relationship. Some of us need touch. Some of us need communication. Some of us need vulnerability. Some of us need intimacy. We all need different things. It is okay to need those things, and it is okay to want those things. It is also okay to work on those things while you are in what I like to call the decade of hell with parenting. It just is. It's like, it is so effing hard. I'm still in it. So like, you know, I'll let you know when I'm on the other side of it. But like, I would say the first 10 years are so hard. And I'm sure the next 10 will be really hard in a completely different way, right? It's already shifting with Charlie as he's getting older. It's more emotional than, you know, it's a whole, this is a ride, ladies and gents. It's a ride, right? But the point is to understand the neurology aspect. So let's go back to that. Okay. What happens when we overfunction for too long? What happens when we are so burnt out that we can't feel our toes and our nose and our face? What happens when we're sitting on the couch and mind-numbingly eating, I don't know, a whole bag of something at night while holding our phone in one hand, munching on something in the other, and having the TV on, right? Like that is such a stimuli overload. But because you have started functioning in such a space where you are used to having all that stimuli, your brain is used to overfunctioning. Your brain is used to go, 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 going. It will feel, I cannot tell you, it will feel the world is ending when you finally decide to put the phone down. Like when you finally decide, I don't need to live Las Vegas style. When you finally decide, I want to find some resemblance, you know, my word balance is, you know, but find some resemblance of balance. Like it is hard, 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 hard work. And I did it many years ago. I could not stop go, 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 going. What I will say is that I am so grateful for my partnership with Carter because he has supported my process of stepping on the brake rather than continuing to go on the gas. And the reason that it has worked is because I cared enough to intuitively listen to what he was saying. It was a supportive cue to me. So let me give you an example. If your partner is checked out, frustrated, barely making eye contact, spinning in their head, you can tell something is going on at work or there's, you know, a project due or like whatever it is. And they're like frustrated and annoyed and maybe just like grumpy or like just snapping at everything. And there's two options here. We either A, take it on and we're like, well, what the fuck did I do? Okay. And I used to be that. Like I used to take it on and I was like, what is going on? Or we can see that there is something going on with our partner and not take it on and literally just give them a cue of like, hey, how are you feeling right now? Instead of being like, why are you irritated? Or like, why are you frustrated that? Or like, why did you do that? Or like, what is going on? Something's going on with you. What's going on with you? Why? I know something's going on with you. Like that. Whew, I used to do that to John all the time and it would drive him nuts. And I knew something was going on with him, but he himself didn't know. Like he literally didn't know what was going on with himself. And so when on the flip side, someone comes to you and says, what's going on? Like, why are you so irritated? That is going to be a recipe for disaster in terms of defensiveness. That's going to be like, nothing's wrong with me because you're already heightened. But if someone comes to you and they put their hand on their shoulder, or they like grab your hand or like whatever it is. And it's just coming from a soft, gentle place. It's, hey, how are you feeling right now? That can cue you in to be like, ding, 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 ding. Okay, what's going on with me? I guess they see that something's going on with me. Okay, what is going on with me? Huh. All right. Oh, wow. Yeah. I think I'm really stressed out. I think I'm really stressed out about work. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. What do you need? How can I support you? Do you see how that's working together as a partnership and validating, okay, I see that you're stressed. It's not get over it. It's not you shouldn't be stressed. It's not, well, then quit your job. It's not, well, then I don't know what to tell you. Like you're always stressed out. And I understand if you've been living with the same partner for years, the same pain points get a little old. It gets a little bit repetitious. It's like, come on, like the same thing again. Come on. Like, but that is what love is. That is what a relationship is. It's work and it's effort in order to support the human that you are living with, right? Now, you don't have to take on what's going on with them, but you can support them and offer support. If they say no, like, no, like, ugh, just let them be. Let them do their thing. Like, they're moving through something. But I listen in to those cues. And if he asks me, like, hey, is there something going on with you? I, like, check in with myself to be like, huh, is there something going on with me? I don't really know. But the way in which I used to function, I didn't have anything left. I didn't have anything left. I was also going through, you know, major trauma and grief and all the things, and it makes sense. But I had to learn how to slow my roll. And this won't be, hey, how do you feel? Oh, okay, I feel, got it. Thanks for sharing. Okay, like now I know that I'm stressed out or this or that. Okay, now I can, I can check in. Now I don't need the dark room. Now I don't need the phone. Now I don't need the TV. You will still need those things because your brain works a lot slower than you would prefer it to. So let's give you an example. I don't know if I'm going to make the noise, but we'll see. It is the difference between you clicking and being like, oop, I'm on, oop, there's my Gmail. Like there's my email, right? Like, boom, I'm there. Versus I would like to get on the internet today. Click AOL, circle, 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 click. Which screen name are you going to go under or logging on under? Oop, that's me. Doop, here's my password. Okay. Whatever that noise is, right? I did it really terribly. That was a really bad rendition, but you know what I mean, right? Like we used to have to sit there, I'm not kidding you, and contemplate life or like do something while we were literally getting on the internet. That is normal. That is normal brain function in this metaphor of brain life. Waiting to get online a few minutes or a few seconds, like that's normal. The fast pace that these computers go and the rate that we think that everything should be like, go, 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 go. It's like, I need something. Okay, but I don't want it tomorrow, Prime. I want it today. So I'm going to find another item for $25 that I can put in my cart so that I can get it today. Thank you very much. Like you didn't even have to get in your car, go to Target or Walmart. Like you just got it within hours, right? Someone else did the heavy lifting. The world did not work like that when you and I were growing up. And if we take that into consideration of how exhausted, how tired, and how burnt out we are, then you get to decide, how do I want to feel? Like, how do I slow down my brain? It will take time. And I know I tell you this a lot in a lot of different podcasts, but it will. If I am having a heightened week or, you know, they're few far in between now, but like if I'm heightened, I know that when Carter's checking in with me, I know that it's okay. I'm going to recognize these things about myself, but I'm also going to allow the space and time for my brain and body to get to that regulated state again. And it may take me a few days. And little by little, I look for the things where I'm coming back online. I look for the moments where I'm making more eye contact. I'm putting my phone down more. I'm holding his hand more. I'm more like affectionate. Like I just want hugs or I want to hold his hand or I want to like lean on him as I'm sitting next to him at a booth at dinner. Like there's things that for me, I recognize, okay, I am coming back online. And literally what I mean by coming back online is I'm so much more present to life. I am so much more present to life. And when your partner has nothing left over for you, when you feel like your partner is, you are at the bottom of the totem pole, you matter the least, and they could care less. It's not that they don't care. They literally don't have enough to give themselves at the moment. Like they literally don't have anything left. They need to go to the gas station, get the pump, and fill up. Like I'm not kidding you. That's how spent they are. And a lot of couples, it's not just one or the other. Usually it's both. Or it's one trying to make up for the other or help the other one get back online or help the other one put gas in their tank. For me, in my partnership with Jonathan, it was always, what can I do to make things easier for you to attempt to get some gas back in your tank? And I was so over-functioning and I was so burnt out and I was so done because I was giving to him and never to myself because I wanted so desperately for him to feel better, for him to come back online and for us to be able to rise as a partnership. But what it takes is effort from both parties. So do me a favor. If you feel like this resonates, send this to your partner, male or female, doesn't really matter. Hopefully you align with either side. Like, you don't have to be a male or a female to connect with this podcast because, and this particular episode, because I know for a fact both feel it. Both feel it. No matter what type of relationship you're in, whether it's two females and two males, like no matter what, we are all just struggling to get by. We are all struggling to, some are even struggling to make ends meet, right? Like, you may listen to this and be like, I can't put the phone down. It's what pays for my lights on, right? Like, we are all trying to figure out the landscape of our world and our climate of how to make this work. But at the end of the day, like at the end of the day, you don't have to feel lonely. You can make a choice to, for the next 3 days, let's say, okay, I recognize this is me. I'm going to put the phone down. Will it be uncomfortable? Yeah, it'll be uncomfortable because your brain is used to functioning and needing all that stimuli. But slowly, slowly saying, okay, that's enough for today. Like, I did enough for today, or I tried enough for today. Very slowly, your brain will come back online and you will see glimpses of yourself. And I have to tell you, what is the point of working so hard to fold the laundry? What is the point of working so hard to make the extra whatever dollars? What is the point of staying up a little past your bedtime to, you know, check your emails? Or like, what is the point? Because at the end of the day, you have made a choice to live in a home with a partner and maybe some children if you're listening to this podcast. And those are the people that matter most. Those are the ones where spending time with them and enjoying the life you're creating, that is what hopefully you'll remember. But if you're over-functioning and you are so tapped out that you have nothing left for your partner, guarantee you your brain is offline and you're not even enjoying your life. You're not even enjoying the moments that matter most that you cannot get back. You can't. Like, you absolutely can't get those back. You'll look at pictures and be like, oh, I remember when they were that little. Gosh, I really miss that. Oh, wow. So take time. Okay. I'm going to give you a few different options. Number one, simple, easy date night without fail. Book it. Book it like it's a meeting. Book it like your life depends on it. Book it like it's a job. Like, book it. That's a simple and easy one. Do something out of your comfort zone. Do experiences. If you are someone who is listening to this, or someone maybe sent you this, I guarantee you, your partner would prefer experiences over fancy meals. Just take a hint. Like, go paint some pottery or something. Like, go do something fun. Go on a hike. Now, if you go and get out of your comfort zone and you do an activity, I would love for your date to be at least 3 hours. You know my threes. If you don't know my threes, go find that podcast and listen to it, because the power of three is just fantastic. And then the last one I want to give you is book a trip. Book a trip without your kids. Book a trip to reconnect. It may be a lot of a hassle. It may be time consuming to figure it out of like, who's going to watch them. And, you know, like, it's not easy for me. I got to tell you, if I want to do anything without my kids, it's definitely not easy. But you have to make time to reconnect. And the people you are when you start on that vacation versus the people you are when you leave that vacation, my hope is that you are so reconnected and you're like, oh, got it. That's why I live with you. Oh, God, this does exist. Wow. Like, you actually are a cool person. I totally forgot. We like laughing together. I promise you, but I want that vacation to be at least 3 days, at least, please. If you can do like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'll take it. And it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. But you and your partnership are so worthy of not feeling lonely. You and your partnership are so worthy of feeling aligned and connected and working together as a team. And most importantly, if you feel this way, if you feel like your partner has nothing left for you, I want you to know you're not alone. And it is okay to communicate and talk to your partner about it. And so until next time, I hope this helped. XOXO, Dr. B.